We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Georgia, we see how the Working Families Party last year helped upstart candidate Marcia Ranglin Vassell defeat House Majority Leader John DeSimone in a primary. The Working Families Party targeted paid sick leave as its top priority in the General Assembly this year, and this has become a top issue. So is this the game plan moving forward, that the Working Families Party will try and replace old-line Democrats with progressives and advance one particular legislative issue each year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the legislative strategy is so simple. We'll try to elect folks who share working families' values, who are going to put these kinds of issues first. And then, obviously, the momentum from those elections helps a lot in the conversation about an issue like paid sick days or another issue going forward. And then we'll use how people behave around that issue, how they vote, to determine our legislative endorsements and how we behave in the next election cycle.
We're coming up on a gubernatorial election next year. Will the Working Families Party support Governor Gina Raimondo for re-election?
I haven't really thought about that. I don't know if she'll have a challenger in the primary or not. She's been helpful on some things. I mean, I don't think we'll necessarily need to weigh into every race. We may well decide that it makes more sense for us to focus on legislative races or something else.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, I talked to some of my friends in the restaurant industry, and they're a little concerned about the sick days legislation, and not just from a perspective of it might cost them employee sick days, but they say the red tape that surrounds this is going to be a pain for them to keep records and so forth.
Yeah, we've tried to make the policy as flexible as possible for people. So it does require a minimum standard. You can earn 1 hour of paid time off for every 30 hours you work, but people are free to use their own policies as long as they're at least as generous. And some people may find it easier, less record keeping to do if you just say, give people sick days up front. That's how I get them in my job in the year, or one per month or something like that. Again, not one size fits all. There's lots of room there for business owners to be creative as long as they're giving people some time off to take care of themselves or their families.
We're taping here on Thursday, so the General Assembly session has not yet come to a close for a year. Some key questions still remain to be answered. But how do you evaluate the General Assembly session from a progressive perspective?
There's been some good stuff there, but there's a lot that's still in the works, you know, potentially some exciting victories. But I think we're down to the wire, but there's still some wait and see.
I'm just wondering, how do you view the first part of the car tax phase out? I've heard progressive split on this. Some people say this is just for the people who own Jaguars. It really isn't. Others say that actually the way it's structured is it takes the car tax away from a lot of low-income car owners right up front.
Yeah, it's not something we weighed into in detail, but I do think the car tax is a regressive one. And so we're certainly in favor of proposals that make our tax structure more progressive, that is, raise revenue more from the people who are best able to afford it.
Rodan has an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature, but the rap from progressives is that many of these Democrats might be Republicans in other states and they're very socially conservative. Has it been harder advancing a progressive agenda in Rodan than you expected, or is it about what you expected?
We've been mostly working on paid sick days, and that gets support from obviously lots of progressive folks, but lots of people who aren't necessarily progressive on other issues as well. It's because they're sort of a bread and butter working families issue. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic to have most of the divisions in the state house be within the Democratic Party, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily harder than other places.
We're talking here with Georgia Hollister Isman, state director of the Rhode Island Working Families Party. Let's cross to national politics for a minute. Georgia, give us your evaluation of what's wrong with the Democratic Party, what it needs to do differently to be more effective in responding to the Trump administration.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of things going on to respond to, but my general critique of the Democratic Party is that it needs to articulate a clear, bold vision that really works for working people. And that's not in conflict with identity politics. It works for working people of all races and genders, but to say what we're for, not just what we're against. And that's why we at Working Families focus on things like earned sick days that actually make a difference in the lives of working people, and try to be ambitious about what we're asking for. Because I think if Democrats don't show clearly what we're for and what benefit supporting us will bring, we're going to have a hard time winning.
How do you rate Rhode Island's congressional delegation on the issues that you and your organization care about?
They've been doing pretty well. I think we've been engaged in a lot of the sort of resistance to Trump kinds of activities this winter and fall, and you have really seen the congressional delegation step up in a lot of ways around those things. I don't know that that was a foregone conclusion at the beginning of the year, but it does seem to be happening.
There's another state, I believe it's Oregon, where the Working Families Party is trying to regulate workers' schedules. Is that something that the party will try to move forward in Rhode Island?
I haven't made any decisions about that. I think that there have been some sort of like particular local challenges on that. But that is, you know, providing people with good working conditions, including knowing when you're supposed to work and getting paid for the time when you came in. That's something we do care about.
I think that Rhode Island is behind the eight ball a little bit on the earned income tax credit. If you look around New England at our neighboring states, what do you plan to do about that?
Again, not something we've engaged in deeply, but again, along the lines of making the tax structure more progressive, that's certainly a value we hold dear. And when we think about our legislative agenda going forward, we'll always be thinking about what are some reforms that can help move the way we raise the state's money from being overly burdensome on low-income people to coming primarily from higher-income earners.
Are you concerned that the minimum wage was delayed for over 2 years rather than just having a one-year phase-in?
Yes, that's the short answer to that question. I do think it's a moment to be bold about the minimum wage. I think it's always good when the minimum wage goes up. Lots of hardworking people get a raise when that happens, but it's been slow. And I think in the future we need to think about bolder moves. A bunch of states around the country have been passing $12 and even $15 minimum wages.
And we're behind Massachusetts.
We are behind Massachusetts, and I suspect we'll be further behind going forward.
We're almost out of time here in Georgia, but tell us, how many paid staffers does Rhode Island Working Families have beyond yourself, and how does the party go about advancing support for its initiatives like paid sick leave?
Right now, we have a big crew because we've been working on this campaign. We have folks working on organizing in local communities, canvassing. I think one of the reasons we've gotten so far on earned sick days is more than 7,000 people have contacted their legislators saying that they want this bill. In fact, they wanted the 7-day version of it.
And that's through your field workers handing out postcards and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a combination of organizers and folks going door to door, asking people right there to write postcards.
And about how many paid staffers does Working Families have in Rhode Island right now?
In addition to me, there are three.
Is that the number that it'll be on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, it'll be different depending on what kinds of campaigns we're working on. The rest of this year will be a little fewer. We'll see about the next legislative session.
All right, we're out of time, so we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the state director of the Rhode Island Working Families Party, Georgia Hollister-Isbin.
Thanks for having me.